This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
I do lead by example.
So are you going to give up your cell phone?
No, I'm not going to give up my...
Are you going to give up your car?
Are you going to give up yours?
I'm not the one who's here talking about the environment.
Fighting for Idaho.
You don't have to take my word for it. You have to take Al Gore's word for it. You have to take the IPCC's word. You can just wake up pretty much any day and listen to Mother Nature, who is screaming at us about it.
Fighting for you.
Steel has about 97% steel and about 3% trace elements. And those little alloys give it the strength. And so I want my administration to have a few trace elements in there.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with you here. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And last hour we were talking about something that most of people throughout the country, around the world, will be talking about. The president's salute. We go to Bob here. Kevin is a former Marine who flies the Marine Corps flag on my house daily. I will not go into what I would like to do with that individual who was so disrespectful. I will leave it at that. You can check that out at the Kevin Miller Facebook, the president saluting, holding a coffee cup. We are taking your calls all day long on that. Don't forget, tomorrow night, a very special event at Foothills Christian Church. I want to thank Gene Lockhart, our friend Megan, with the Boise Rescue Mission for helping us put this together. Foothills Christian Church at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, where we do our very best to stop, eradicate, end domestic violence in the Treasure Valley. The call to action is that you're not alone. And we'll be talking to experts. We'll be giving our testimony. And we would love for you to join us. Again, it's a little different, but still an issue that impacts all of us, unfortunately. And if you're a hunter, if you're just walking in the woods, if you're a rancher, the issue of wolves, always a big issue. Just ask Governor Otter. Here at 580KIDO, with us now to discuss what to do with the wolves, Idaho resident and Defenders of Wildlife senior representative for the Rockies and the Plains, Suzanne Stone. Ms. Stone, thank you for joining us, ma'am.
Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
So a couple weeks ago, y'all up in Ketchum there made a declaration concerning the wolves. What's going on?
Well, I think essentially the folks in Ketchum, represented by their city council and their mayor, came together and decided that they wanted to make a statement for wolves in the state. It seems like everywhere you go within Idaho politics anyway, that wolves are kind of the scapegoat for all things wrong in Idaho. So I think they were just compelled to stand in defense of wolves, and that their community actually supports having wolves on the ground, and wanted people to know that publicly.
Well, how do you deal with the wolves? What is your recommendation, your suggestion?
Well, it's actually much easier than what people think. Unfortunately, wolves have become such a scapegoat that they, if they do something wrong, it tends to end up in the news. And so it's hard for people to kind of keep that in context of what else is going on. For example, just a couple of days ago, I think it was the Sunday paper, the Idaho Statesman listed a wolf attack on six sheep over in Oregon as being one of the top 20 news points for the day. And, you know, on an average day, wolves kill less than one sheep statewide. But if you compare that with, like, coyotes, you know, it'll be dozens, disease, all those other factors. We don't get to hear about those, so it doesn't really play into, you know, where we understand wolf predation in context. And so I think for most people, there's a very exaggerated sense of how many livestock are actually lost to wolves and how much of a threat that wolves are to livestock. Today, they're still accountable for less than 1% of livestock losses in the state of Idaho. And so it's really not that the sky is falling. It's just that we get to hear about it with wolves because they're so controversial.
So you're saying there's a wolf bias in the media?
I am saying that every time wolves get in trouble, it shows up in the press, and it seems to be something that the media is very focused on, but not equally so with the other causes of livestock losses, and that's easily demonstrated. In fact, I think there was a study done on just the number of negative versus positive, and then the number of times that wolves made the news on matters that they wouldn't have been newsworthy if it hadn't been wolves involved. And so I think that part, you know, our fascination with wolves has both a negative and a positive aspect to it. But, you know, if you look at just the common sense things on how we manage wolves and focus our energy toward doing that, it's really not that big of a deal. I mean, we have...
Well, not according to the governor and to others, because they have said that the wolves aren't native to Idaho and they're predators.
Well, and then they're ignoring science if they're saying that wolves are not native to Idaho. The wolves that are here are native to Idaho, and there's been a lot of confusion over that, but science has made a very strong foundation of evidence that wolves, that historically, you know, there was not a border between Idaho and British Columbia or Alberta. Wolves are very wide-ranging dispersing species, so they have traditionally, for you know, thousands of years, moved across those borders as if they didn't exist. So to the wolf, it doesn't.
And no border patrol for the wolves.
No border patrol, that's right. How are other species that are wide-ranging? So this misnomer that wolves are somehow a different species is definitely not true. They don't weigh anything different. They don't physically have any different characteristics. They could have, in fact, some wolves have walked there from British Columbia all the way down into Idaho and back again within less than a year. We know that because they were GPS collared, and they did so on their own, but went all the way from the area where wolves were captured and released, but did so without the help of an airplane. So, you know, there's a number of things that people can do if they, you know, can let go of the conflict end of it and try to look at how they resolve or prevent problems with wolves.
So, anyway, here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, Susan, you're talking about in Blaine County, they've passed a resolution requesting that the state use non-lethal tools like guard dogs, strobe lights, electric fencing over aerial gunning, hunting, and trapping to manage the conflicts between the wolves and the livestock. How has that been received?
It was unanimously supported at the city council meeting, and as well as everyone that it was a packed meeting room. And not one person spoke out against the resolution. Everyone spoke in support. I think people are just really tired of the abuse that the wolves are getting. I mean, it's a real special circumstance that how we manage wolves in the state of Idaho versus how we manage, like, mountain lions, for example.
Shoot them here.
Right. There's about 3,000 mountain lions in the state, and less than 1,000, probably less than 600 is what we're hearing now on wolves. Somewhere between those two numbers. So, you know, mountain lions, for example, they eat twice as much elk as wolves do. They still get into conflicts with livestock. But we seem to have reached an equilibrium of being able to live with mountain lions. Now, this resolution was not opposed to hunting of wolves. What it was opposed to doing was the lethal control of wolves and the pressure, trapping and snaring. Especially when you have like 3 days before you have to, you know, check those traps and the animal, what happens to that animal during the...
No, nobody wants any animal to suffer.
You know, it wasn't just...
Hello? 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 Sorry about that. We lost Suzanne. Well, let's see if we can try and get her back. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580-KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Do you believe what Suzanne is talking about? Now, I know there are a lot of people that love the Second Amendment, that love to hunt, that love to fish. And I will say this, in Idaho, when you have the front page of the paper, when wolf hunting season happened, you had people with the wolf carcass. Now you have Suzanne saying, look, and then catch them. Let's use non-lethal tools. Let's use guard dogs. Let's use strobe lights. Let's use electric fencing to stop wolves. And then the point she was making, the anti-wolf or the anti-wolf bias in the press, comparatively speaking to other species. Yeah, so, I mean, here you have the wolves being picked on. Now, if you're a rancher, if you're a farmer, Heck, if you're someone like me that has dogs, big dogs or little dogs, do you believe when, again, when Suzanne Stone says that wolves are not the predators? Boy, I wish we had as much passion for people that we do for the wolves. And remember, the governor will be talking about this and saying we need to get the wolves. So is it really the point? You know, we talk about the overreaching federal government. Is it really the federal government's point to bring in a non-native species? And I understand that British Columbia is closed if you're up there in Moscow or Coeur d'Alene, but here it isn't. So at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, your thoughts on what they're doing in Ketchum, number one. Number two, you know, let's get the federal government out of it. And whether you like the governor or not, I think he's been at the forefront of the battle against or for the wolves. It's not often that you have people advocating non-lethal tools. I don't know really if the guard dogs would actually do something. So we will take a look at that. Do want to remind you, it's very important. And coming up next, we'll just move on here, Ray. Coming up next, domestic violence in the Treasure Valley. Now, most of us, when we see or read stories like Selena Thomas, like that little baby that was beaten to death and the airman got, life in prison, we hug our kids, we pray to God that it doesn't happen, or to our babies or your baby's babies, but then it does. Can we ever really understand the cycle of violence? Well, that's what we're attempting to do this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Not only understand it, but to give you the information to stop it. And I want to take a look at this. We're having a lot of folks come in, and we would love to see you there. You know, it's funny. We ask for this, we ask for that. I don't ask for much, but for this hits home for a lot of people. A lot of people that have been hurt, that have been traumatized by domestic violence. And maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's you. And you look around, maybe you're alone at the house, in your car, at work. And if you're going through it right now, my friend, help is on the way. Help is on the way. If you can make it, great. If not, it will be on our website. And if two people show up, we'll just have a good old time. We'll call it an intimate gathering. But sometimes we do things for without commercial benefit, for without benefit at all, unless, with the exception of for our fellow men and women. Right? That's what it's about. We'll talk more about that coming up. Let's go to Mike at Roby Creek with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. I was just wondering, have you ever heard of a cougar that killed like 30 sheep?
No.
I love wolves, but I think wolves are terrible for the hunters of Idaho and the ranchers. That's my opinion.
Anything else?
Nope.
All right, you're not down with the non-lethal, maybe some pepper spray.
I say we got too many of them. We have too many wolves as it is. It's hard to find the elk because they're too scared to call back because they don't want to bring the wolves down on them.
Mike, good points. Be careful out there.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. Let's get you to traffic now.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Talking about wolves. Don't forget our forum. You can learn more about that at 580KIDO.com concerning ending domestic violence. Let's go to Don in Ada County with Kevin Miller. Good morning, Don.
Hello, how are you?
Living the dream, brother.
Good, good. Hey, my idea on the wolves is we just need to get a bounty on them like they did in the old days. The government or our state has allotted like $1 million or $2 million to control wolves, And I think if they put a $500 to $1,000 bounty on each wolf, they would be down to a sizable, a manageable herd in no time. And plus, it gives some people an opportunity to make another living on doing something.
I just can't believe that Suzanne, and we apologize to her, we had some technical problems. It would have been great to go back and forth with you and her and everybody else, but the idea of non-lethal stuff. And do you buy this argument that we should use guard dogs, strobe lights, electric fencing over shooting the wolves?
No, that's kind of impossible to do, because if you've ever followed the sheep herds through Idaho, it's pretty impossible for those ranchers and those herders to carry all that equipment with them. So most of them just carry a 30-30 and take the threat out.
Well, the issue is, don't they get prosecuted in their fear of prosecution from the feds?
They have fear, sure, but if the old adage is, what they don't know won't hurt them.
You know, shouldn't the feds really be worried about ISIS as opposed to shooting wolves?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, Don, thank you for listening, sir. We really appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right, 580-5436. 580-KIDO, whether you're a hunter or a fan of the hunting, the city of Ketchum, Blaine County unanimously passed a resolution requesting that the state use non-lethal tools to take out the wolves. Now, we don't want wolves or any animal to suffer. Not at all. But take a look at the cattle, the livestock, the elk, the sheep. And only in the world of big government could, you know, if you would shoot a wolf or something like that, as you're stuck on 84 this morning, could you be prosecuted by the feds? But you come into the country illegally, they give you social services. You got to laugh, I guess. And you're like, Kevin, my blood's boiling. We don't want your blood to boil. We don't want you up on the Bonazepril, the Bistolic, and anything else when it comes to high blood pressure. We're trying to alleviate that. And by the way, while you're coming in today, isn't it fascinating when we're speaking of the federal government? Maybe this is the state, but I guess the highways are the feds. Do we not make our own problems? Usually at the beginning of the summer, we have the orange cones. And usually at 84, and people from California or Utah or wherever come in here, or from the East Coast, and they say, there's no traffic here. It's great. Whether you're in Phoenix, Arizona, or what have you, and you know, people just get used to being stuck in traffic endlessly. Think of all the amount of gasoline that is wasted being stuck in traffic. And as I've said, we're spoiled here, and I think that's why a lot of people are so happy, in a real sense, not in the Pharrell sense, because it's life is less stressful here, and people come here to live that. But I think we have such a little amount of stress that we create stress to deal with, like the construction on the highways, whether it's Cole or Overland or Chinden or Fairview or wherever. Yes, it's great once it's done. I mean, think about this every morning, how much you used to speed in from Canyon County, and now all of a sudden you're stuck. Why? I think it's the government creating our own problems, creating a problem so they can solve it. Are the highways really that bad that we need all this road construction? We go to Midvale and Doris with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Doris.
Hello.
Hi.
I listen to you all the time, but I don't ever call in. But about these wolves, hello.
You better turn down your...
I guess I better turn down the radio, haven't I?
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries.
I just forgot it. I knew I
It's just you and me having some morning breakfast.
Okay. Yeah, I just burnt mine.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah. Anyway, I get a magazine called Range, and it tells all about the wolves and anything else about with ranchers and farmers. And there was a sheepman in Wyoming last year who lost 50 head of bucks. They were for selling to other sheepmen for their business, but they lost 50 bucks in one night because of wolves. There have been, I don't know, there's always in this magazine that gives this information. It does not get on the air. Nobody hears about it except these people who look up these things, and they're being killed all the time. And the wolves have already gone clear over to Mount Hood from here. These are not the domestic wolves that we had. They've killed all the domestic ones, these bigger wolves. These were from northern Canada, where they had to fight to live. So there's people here in our valley who have to almost be in the mountains all the time with their cattle. They have had cattle and calves killed. You never hear about it. So, yeah, we do not need these big old wolves. We don't need them, as many as we have anyway. That's just what I wanted to say.
You always have a home here, Doris.
Yeah, and the sheep are always being killed. Cows are always being killed. Calves are being killed. All of our elk and our deer are moving to the lower lands because they can't stay in the mountains. So that's why we need to get rid of these wolves. I know the governor agrees with me.
Oh, yeah, he does on that one. Well, thank you,
yeah.
Doris.
Okay.
Have a nice day. Bye-bye. All right, 7:31 coming up next, a live report from the Middle East exclusively right here with us, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
News. Brian Wiley, weekdays at 6. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's go live to the Middle East with our great friend Emily Wither of Fox News Radio. I think that's like your theme song, Rock the Casbah. Of course, that was a classic hit, Emily, back in my day. I don't know, you probably have watched it on YouTube or read about it when it was new.
Well, I guess we are on the radio, so you can only but guess what decade that I'm from.
And it's weird how music impacts your life when we landed in the Kuwaiti airport, and I saw everybody with the burqas on and the men wearing what they wear. It really went back to that video from The Clash, Rock the Casbah, and again, showing my limited experiences outside the Western world. But it, anyway, good morning.
Good morning. Nice little story there. Thank you.
Well, you're quite welcome. So are we having a nice little story with ISIS or ISIL, or are the bad guys getting mad?
Well, they're very likely to be getting quite mad because they've been hit pretty hard in the last 24 hours. We know that there was 24 airstrikes in Syria yesterday, and there has been a further 2 airstrikes today in Syria and 4 in Iraq going after ISIS militant positions. And really, these airstrikes have focused on infrastructure of the militants, not necessarily individual fighters or leaders. There have been a few casualties. Around 70 is the estimate from a group monitoring the situation on the ground that gathers information from various activists. They say around 70 fighters have been killed in the last 24 hours. But there has been a lot of damage to some of the militant positions. These airstrikes have hit command training centers, command and control headquarters, weapons storage facilities, training camps, armed vehicles. One of the positions that was hit just this morning was what the U.S. believes to be a staging area that was being used to move equipment between Syria and Iraq. So the militants are really losing some of their key devices that they need to continue staging their attacks.
And all it really took were millions, perhaps even billions of dollars of bombs and armaments to make it happen.
And a lot of help from friends as well. I was thinking of the Beatles song there, just a little help from our friends. And that's certainly what's happened in this case with the U.S. teaming up with these 5 Arab countries. And I think the last time we spoke, I wasn't quite sure exactly what role each of these Arab nations had played: Bahrain, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and the United Arab Emirates. And it has been confirmed now that each of these countries played an active role. They all flew planes of some sort, aircraft of some sort, over Syria. Qatar was the only country that didn't physically drop any bombs, but they were up in the air as well, helping along with the effort.
Emily Wither with us. Kevin Miller here at Fox News Radio, 580 KIDO. Let me ask you this. What's the perception of the Saudis? We have our perception. They make a lot of money. It's a monarchy. They pay people off. What's the Israeli perception of the Saudis?
It's quite interesting, actually, because Israel and Saudi Arabia are enemies. They don't have any diplomatic relations. And I actually went to Saudi Arabia earlier on this year, and I didn't mention to anyone when I was in the country that I'm usually based in Israel. It would have been a little bit difficult for me. So they don't have direct relations. There is obviously no embassy for Saudi Arabia in Israel, and the two countries are not talking. However, they do have an awful lot in common. For example, they both are worried about Iran and the threat of nuclear weapons coming from that country. Saudi Arabia and Iran are regional enemies. Iran is a mostly Shiite state, and Saudi Arabia is the Sunni heavyweight of the region. So those countries don't get on. And Israel is increasingly finding itself on the same side as Saudi Arabia, not just with Iran, but also with what's happening in Syria, too, in the sense that the Israelis are also worried about the threat of extremist groups. Saudi Arabia, though, it's complicated because there has been a lot of criticism that they are among one of the countries that has helped fund some of the rebel groups inside Syria, and not just moderate rebel groups, some of the more extreme groups as well.
Now, we were talking to our congressman here yesterday, Congressman Mike Simpson, and he really relayed the reluctance on Capitol Hill in Washington concerning just keeping track of all the Syrian groups. We've got the Syrian Free Army, we've got ISIS, we've got Assad, we've got ISIS on steroids, Al-Qaeda. I'm sure I'm missing a few others.
There are so many different groups. I mean, we only have to think of the Khorasan group, which has suddenly hit the headlines. This is another group that the U.S. targeted yesterday, which intelligence officials believed were very close to carrying out some kind of attack in the United States or elsewhere on Western targets. And it really just highlights how many extremist groups are just simply taking advantage of the power vacuum that now exists inside Syria, and they're using it as a safe haven to build up whatever their own interests are. This particular group, the Khorasan group, a Pentagon official told us yesterday in a briefing that this group isn't interested in toppling President Assad. It doesn't care about Syria, the country, or taking over the country, or the future of Syria. They simply are just using Syria's instability as a place for them to lay down roots and use it as a staging ground. And just to highlight the complicated nature of the rebel groups on the ground, the Khorasan group fights alongside the Al-Qaeda affiliates in Syria, the Al-Nusra Front. The Al-Nusra Front is a rebel group that is a rival, ironically, of the Islamic State, of ISIS, and sometimes they fight against each other. Sometimes some of the moderate rebel groups team up with the Al-Nusra Front. So there's just so many shifting alliances there inside Syria.
Wonders where, you know, if you're the Western powers, where do you put your money?
That is a complicated question, because I know it's discussed a lot. How do you know which rebel groups to arm? Which ones have Syria's best interests at heart? Because as I've said, even though there are moderate rebel groups inside Syria, sometimes they do team up with more extreme groups when they want to try and push back against government forces. The more extreme groups are better armed, are better trained, and they know what they're doing a little bit more on the battlefield, because the more moderate elements inside Syria, many of the fighters are civilians that have suddenly found themselves having to become fighters. And that's not always necessarily the case with the more extreme groups. They tend to just be a little bit more organized, which is why the moderates sometimes do work with them, because they all have the same goal on top of everything else, and that is they want President Assad to go.
Emily Wither with us here at 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. What should we be looking out for in the next coming days, if anything?
There will be more airstrikes, I imagine, and it's hard to say really what to look out for necessarily in the coming days, because as U.S. officials have rightly pointed out, this isn't just going to take a couple of days. We are digging in now for what is going to be a very long campaign. Predictions have put it at years for this campaign to continue. I think one of the main things to probably look out for in the coming days will be, are there going to be any retaliatory attacks. ISIS will, as we said, be furious that these airstrikes have been happening. So who are they going to direct their anger at, the U.S. or any of these Arab countries? I'm sure internationally, many countries who are involved in this coalition will be bracing themselves for ISIS attempting to try and carry out some kind of revenge attack.
Emily Wither, we appreciate it. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
It is 7:47, time for traffic at 580 KID.
This misnomer that wolves are somehow a different species is definitely not true.
I love wolves, but I think wolves are terrible for the hunters of Idaho.
We need to get rid of these wolves. I know the governor agrees with me.
Must hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
By the way, if you're just tuning in, we had a young lady on actually defending wolves saying, now get this, saying there's a there's an anti-wolf bias in the media that when a mountain lion, only in Idaho, that when a mountain lion kills, it's not big news. But when a, or a coyote kills, it's not big news. But wolves are public enemy number one. They certainly are to most ranchers, farmers, hunters, hikers. They're predators. In fact, the federal government dictating to the state of Idaho that you will have wolves, you will not shoot the wolves, you will be prosecuted for the wolves. Amazing. We're going to get some more feedback in a minute. And I have to say this. You know, the media is so slanted. You've got a president, a picture of President Obama holding his coffee cup. And this is why CNN is for losers. And I contributed to CNN. I always thought it was great to be on. I always thought it, TV was the in thing. TV is, you know, TV, you don't have the relationship that we do. And a sidebar, I had a chance a couple times to work in national TV, local TV. And look, it's great, it's fun, it's exciting, but it's not what we do. It's not what you and I do. So you talk about the bias in the media. I'm sitting here watching CNN, why, I don't know, just for something different. And you've got the cosmetically appealing females, at least at one time, and the cosmetically challenged males today, debating the coffee cup salute. Now, we have had this at the Kevin Miller Facebook. We have the video, thank you, Greg Pruitt and Gary Bauer, on the 580 KIDO Facebook, where the president is getting off Marine One holding a latte. The ink is not even dry on the story. And by the way, give us a like at 580kido.com on Facebook, and you'll get these news feeds that I'm sending you. And look, I want to be your friend, so please friend me, or I'll friend you, whatever. Friend you, friend me. And the ink hasn't even dried. And already CNN has three or four photos of President Bush holding his dog and saluting. Of course, I haven't seen the photo of President Obama holding his latte while disrespecting the Marines. And then you have Defender-in-Chief, as one guy calls him, the forehead, Paul Begala, with his phony outrage. Oh, the phony outrage. Our good friend Doug in CUNA joins us now with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, sir.
How you been?
Pretty good.
How's your mom?
Pretty good. She's doing good.
Yeah, she's a chipper one. I still remember the time she was chasing Liberal Steve with her cane. That was a good one.
Yeah, she told me about that one.
He tried to give her a hug, and she goes, "I'm not hugging you, Lib."
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to comment, you know, that lady saying that there was a bias against the wolves. Well, there is no bias against the wolves. The biggest problem with wolves is they hunt packs, and they will take down, I think if last time I heard, I think it was like 14 or 15 elk in a month's time to feed themselves. So, you know, when you lose 15 elk, you know, one mountain lion is going to kill maybe one deer, possibly one elk, and that's going to feed that cat for quite a while. So, you know, there isn't a bias. It's just the problem is the wolves, they hunt in packs and they do a lot more devastation than the mountain lions do. And wolves, they are predators, and their predatory instinct is if something runs, they attack it.
Doug, great call. And I apologize. I got to run, bro.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate you listening. As always, good morning, Dave.